Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know if people just forgot to set their clocks forward or what, but we're going to move on and go.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I wanted to just say something. This morning when I got up this morning, I was in a daze. I wasn't thinking. I was just going through the motions. And I thought, you know, why do I keep going to church? What's the purpose of me going there today? Every Wednesday, every Sunday? Does it really need it to be done? I got here because Marie and I push each other, I guess. We got here, and I found out why I go to church. I love the brothers and sisters. Now we've got a brother that's having a problem with the car. Let's see what we can do. See how we can help. But, you know, it's just to be together, to play music. I love to play the guitar. I love to be able to do something that can worship God in another way. But we come together because, first of all, we love God and God loves us. But how much do we love each other? And we do love each other. Oh, there's differences of opinions. There's difference of thinking. None of us think the same as each other. But we, yeah. Thank God for that, yeah. But, you know, it's just so beautiful to be able just to sit here and to talk to each other, to pray with each other, and to love one another as Jesus loved us. God bless you all.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we come into your presence this morning with praise and thanksgiving. And Holy Spirit, we appreciate so much your presence in our lives. Doing what you were sent to do, to teach, exhort, to change, to build up, to edify, comfort, and bring change in our lives. Because of your presence in our lives, Holy Spirit, we understand the need, the desperate need we have for Jesus. Every day, every way, more and more. We lay ourselves at your feet this morning, Father. We give you praise and worship and adoration. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you are a loving Father and that your only motivation and your only thoughts for us are thoughts to prosper and not to harm us, to benefit us, Lord, but more than anything, to cause us to be vessels useful for the kingdom of God. So to that end this morning, Lord, we just say that everything we do now by giving our lives to you in praise and worship, by the service this morning, Lord, we want to bring that honor and glory to you, and we want to please you. We want to be that vessel fit for your use, Lord. So we thank you for this day and this time, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're going to cause our Father's will to be done in this house and in these vessels this morning. We proclaim now, our minds are open, our hearts are receptive to you. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. We know it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. So we just give you thanks this morning. We thank you for the outcome, Father. We thank you for what's going to happen, what has happened, in Jesus' name. And now we pray for those who are not here, Lord, who for whatever reason are not here as of yet or who will not be here today. Touch them, bless them, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you have everything in control. We're never out of control when you're in control. So we look to you this morning. You are the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name, we thank you for provision and blessing because of faithfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just tell him we love him this morning. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do proclaim our love for you today, Lord. Lord, we place you at the highest place this morning. We've come to hear from you, Lord, to have our hearts touched, our lives changed, so that we can serve you, Lord, in a mighty way. Lord, this morning our cry is that we'd lose ourselves and find you, Lord. That we'd lose whatever motives that we have, Lord, that are not your motives, Lord, or the motives that for you, for the good of the kingdom, Lord, this morning. We thank you this morning for your word, Lord. I surrender to you, Lord. Take me and use me as you see fit, Lord. Let your word come forth with boldness and power, with authority and anointing, Lord. I thank you, Lord. That you're not one who abuses your children, Lord, but you're one who ministers in love. Even in chastening, Lord, you minister in love so that no one is harmed. Father, we love you and thank you for all your goodness. Love you and thank you for, give you praise for the goodness and the mercy that follow us every day of our life. For the grace that you've shown, the unmerited favor that you've shown for each one of us, Lord. Help us come up higher. Help us come up higher, Lord. Draw us closer to you, Lord, into intimacy with you, to see your face, to hear your words of love and direction and correction. For this we praise and thank you. We give you glory and honor, Lord, for the outcome, and we thank you that it's done in Jesus' name and for the kingdom and for your glory, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all can be seated. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 13 and go through verse 26 for our text this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that we get very uncomfortable with, but one of the things that lets us know we're loved, is when our mom and dad, or more importantly, our Heavenly Father, works on us or chastens us. And of course, the first thing you think about when you're chastening is the first, you know, your mind goes to, you know, you're in trouble and, you know, you're not looking forward to what's coming. But you know, I look forward to the chastening of the Lord in my life. It keeps me on the straight and narrow, and it keeps me humble, because I know, number one, that when He chastens me, He loves me, but He's never harsh, He's never brutal, and He never leaves me wounded. Amen. Can we agree on that? Amen. That's the character and nature of God. So keep that in mind as we go through this morning. Verse 13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We need to, every time we get around people, whether it's our spouse or neighbors or friends or the people that God brings us in contact with, check our motives. What's really our agenda? Is it to love them? Is it to set them straight? Is it to see God minister to them in love, change their lives, and by the Holy Spirit and the words that He gives us, see them provoked to jealousy, to change and serve the Lord? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. And then, of course, verse 16 starts out, and the whole attitude or text here is about walking in the Spirit. Then I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh or of your flesh. There's many lusts, you know. The flesh wars against the Spirit. We all know that. If you don't, I'm telling you this morning. The flesh wars against and lusts against the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who needs to be dominant and in control in our lives, but sometimes our flesh likes to take control. And sometimes we get just a little big for our britches. How many can say amen to that? Have you ever been there and done that? I have. Yes, sir. And the trophy. And the ribbon. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. One of the things that's very important that we understand is that we need to set a guard on our mouth, and we need to watch our life and what we're portraying at all times. We are the body of Christ. We are each members, in particular, of the body of Christ. We have Jesus as our head. So that just that picture alone, you should be able to see that we are always where our head is, or our head is always where we are. Amen? And so there's no time when we're not being scrutinized, both by the Word and the Holy Spirit, which agree, but also by the head. He's the one who should be sending out the impulses to everything we say and we do. Can we agree on that? And because of that, and because we understand that our flesh doesn't like the Spirit, we need to bring it captive, we need to take control of it, and need to bring it into subjection, into submission to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then now in verse 19, it's going to list some things that we need to be very careful we don't partake in, or we don't let get a hold of us and control us. And of course, we're human, so we make mistakes. We stumble and fall, but we're supposed to rise again 7 times, forgive ourselves 7 times. And in fact, 7 times 70 times, which is 490 times. Amen? It means we forgive ourselves and we move on. But we also have to make sure that if we do something that might be something that upsets somebody else, we check the motive of our heart, and then we go and we make it right as God directs us by the Spirit. Now listen carefully. Now the works of the flesh. Did you get that? The works of the flesh. When the flesh is in control, they're evident, and they are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. One of the things that is very, very important that we understand as Christians is that our main responsibility, our only responsibility, is to share the gospel or the good news with others, but to keep ourselves in a state of constant self-scrutiny to make sure we're where we need to be and we're doing and saying what we're supposed to be saying. That builds the kingdom, propagates the gospel, and causes lives to change. We can't do that by forcing our thoughts or our ways on somebody else. One of the biggest struggles I had, maybe I've mentioned this before, one of the biggest struggles I had personally is the fact that I could not understand why everybody didn't think the same way I thought. I struggle with that. I don't know about y'all. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. I bet you have if you're honest. But the point is, I was brought up a certain way. I believed it was a good way. I had the influence of God in my life. But I couldn't understand that if somebody didn't do it my way or didn't think the way I thought, that the whole context or pretext in my mind was they're wrong. You know, they're missing something. Maybe they weren't wrong, but they were missing something. And then I realized God, by the Holy Spirit and by a wise counselor, showed me that, you know, not everybody's going to think the same or act the same way, you know, specifically as my personality. But if the job gets done and God is glorified, what difference does it make? Hello? What difference does it make? Come in. Uh-huh. I thought I told you last night, but I must have not. So I forgive me. I apologize. No. You're right on time. Come on in. We're glad you're here. Anyway, and so we need to be very careful that whatever we say and whatever we do in, for, and around each other is for the other's good. Not for our good, to lift us up, to elevate us, to make us feel good, but for the good of the other person. Lay our lives down. Amen? And that's what it's all about. We're in Galatians chapter 5, if you're interested. And we just got done reading down through verse 21. We're not going to spend any time on these things. I mean, I think they speak for themselves. But our conduct is what's going to either show who's in control in our life. Well, it's not going to either. It will show who's in control in our life. Our conduct will always betray, first of all, where we're at for the moment. And let's face it, we all get out of sorts. We all have issues from one time or another. But the point is that we need to remember that at all times, if we are the body of Christ and Christ is the head, that wherever we go, our projection should be of Christ. Amen? For the kingdom, for the glory of God. There should be no other ambition or motivation but that right there. Now in verse 22, it tells us, now you noticed in the beginning at verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh," okay, that's the works of the flesh, "but the fruit," in other words, the fruit in a changed life, in a life controlled by God, the fruit of the Spirit, or the Spirit being in control, is first love, then joy, then peace in all things. I added that. You don't mind if I paraphrase a little bit, do you? Long-suffering, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control, and we read here in verse 23, against such or those things there is no law. Those are the things we need to be focused on. Thinking on things that are lovely, pure, and of a good report. Amen? And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now we just read from 19 to 20 through 21 what the works of the flesh are. And that's what's supposed to be crucified. How many remember Galatians 2:20? "For I am crucified with Christ." So that means if Jesus was crucified, he died. Amen. She's on the target. If that means if we're crucified with him, then that means there must be some death there someplace. And that death needs to be to our flesh, our ways, our thoughts, our ideas. Okay? Jesus never once in his ministry ever did anything except build, lift up and teach the gospel, the good news, and the kingdom of God. Not once. Part of that teaching was that people can be healed. He wanted to touch people who were healed. He healed all manner of sickness. Amen? He healed diseases. And he set captives free. He met their needs. He had no other gospel, no other thing to say except Christ and him crucified. And he wasn't preaching about Jesus. He was preaching about the work of God, the salvation of men. Amen? Praise the Lord. Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, we have to live in the Spirit. Can't be like a switch we just turn on and off when we feel like it. We've got to live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if we're living in the Spirit, our actions, our walk, our talk is going to project Christ in us, which is what? The hope of glory. Amen? I didn't hear any agreement on that. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, we're humans. And once in a while, we get our tail over the dash. But at that moment, that's when the godliness and self-control, or godliness that brings self-control through the Spirit and the Word, should be kicking into motion. Okay? Even if we have a situation that confronts us that where we know we're 100% right and the other person's wrong, the Bible says, lay down your life. That's what Jesus did. He was completely rejected. He was completely abused by those who he spoke to and he ministered to, by the religious leaders and those who talked about or had a form of godliness, but did not operate in the power and the authority of who Jesus really was, the Son of the living God. Their deeds were not for the kingdom. Their deeds were selfish and self-motivated. Their words were selfish and self-motivated. Scripture talks about them standing in places and praying so that all people could see, so that they would be patted on the back instead of giving the glory to God. Are you with me still? 1 Corinthians 11:1. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Pretty simple. It says, imitate me. This is, I believe, the apostle talking. Just as I also imitate Christ. The Bible says the children will imitate their father. Well, the father we were born under is no longer our father. We're a new creation in God. We've been redeemed, set free, and liberated from that nonsense and that destructive crud that basically says, I'm everything, you're nothing. Kiss my feet. How many know what I'm talking about? 3 John 1:11 says, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Again, we're talking about motives. What motivates our heart? What motivates our words? And what the real reason we're doing what we're doing or saying what we're saying is? Is it to bring glory to God? Is it to change lives, to build faith? Or is there some other motivation? You and the Holy Spirit work that out. I'm not going to go there. Galatians 1, 8, and 9 says, But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel or good news, gospel means good news, to you, than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. I would encourage you to look that up. I didn't write down a whole bunch of notes about that, but I did look it up, and that's pretty interesting what it says. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any... See, he repeats it twice, so there must be some importance here in verse 8 and 9. And we have said before, so now we say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you other than what we have received, let him be accursed. Now, we make mistakes. Just because we're down and out doesn't mean God's turned his back on us. But David, even in all of the corruption that he was involved in, and the self-motivation and the selfishness, even having a man killed, a man who was the husband of a woman who he lusted after, had him killed in battle. When the prophet came to him and he said, self-righteousness and indignation shut him, since it told the prophet, he said, well, tell me who this man is, when the prophet told him what the situation was, and I'll have this man put to death at once. And then the word or the sword came back, that two-edged sword came back and cut David to the quick. And he fell down and he repented in sackcloth and ashes because the prophet said, David, you are that man. You are that man. David realized he had done wrong in God's eyes. He was sorry. He was repentant. He was repentant. There we go. Of what he had done. Repentant of what he had done. And because of David's life and everything he did, he lost control. He got in trouble, there's no question. But God called him a man after his own heart. Because God looks at the heart. He checks the heart. He doesn't look at the outward appearance or the outward actions. And that's one of the reasons why we can't judge one another, because we don't know what's in the other person's heart. And besides that, we got so much wrong in our own lives that we can't possibly see clearly enough. We've heard this a million times. To take the little dot or speck or the little problem in somebody else's life and set them straight. The Word of God is a mirror for us, not for us to put in somebody else's face and say, see what manner of person you are. No, it's so you can see what manner of person you are. Glory to God. I want to ask a question. Does or can anything other than preaching faith and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ bring or lead to salvation? I don't know of anything else that brings salvation or brings the change in a person's life except preaching faith and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. It's so important that we have a full understanding. Harry began sharing with us about the crucifixion of Jesus. But it's beyond the crucifixion, it's the resurrection and what was accomplished there. And I would suggest that maybe all of us need to go back and take a closer look at that personally and see exactly what that was all about. Every one of the most vile, disgusting thoughts and deeds and actions you ever had in your life, every one of the most deadly or trivial diseases was taken away because of the stripes. And when it was all said and done, and Jesus stood there, and he cried out, "It is finished," and then he ascended into hell, everything was covered from eternity past to eternity future. The only requirement is that you turn your life over to him and you serve him. Amen? You obey his voice, and you don't obey the voice of a stranger. And once again, that means this voice if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Only the Spirit and the Word agree. There is a way, but the end is destruction. It seems right, but it's destructive. Thank you. I can say these words. I promise. I promise I can. Hallelujah. Once again, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. And this is a decision you have to make every day of your life. I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That means not to know anything except the fact that Jesus died for my iniquity and my sin, for my wrongdoing, for my goofy thoughts, for my pride, my arrogance, my nonsense. And then when we finally come to reckoning with that, we can finally understand that he did that for all others also. It wasn't just for us. Amen? None of us are going to stand before God and be able to point a finger. We're going to have to stand on our own. We're either going to be exonerated or condemned. And that's, again, between you and Jesus, or between you and God. That's not you. However God's working with this, I thank God how the Holy Spirit's ministering to you. We ask Him to take control this morning. Proverbs 18:6 through 21. Turn with me to Proverbs 16 through 21. 18:16 through 21. Listen to me carefully. One of the things that some people can never come to terms with, they want to be elevated in the kingdom of God. They want to be in a different place than what they are, but they don't understand how that happens. They read it a million times and it just goes right over their head. First of all, God places gifts and talents. And those gifts and talents, He will raise up in each one of us. He will use. He will expose. And the Scripture says in verse 16, it says, a man's gift, in other words, the gift of God, or the gifts of God, or if you want to, the talents also, make room for him and bring him before great men. You know, it also brings you before regular men, too. And those are the ones we meet every day of our lives. Amen? Gene shared with me on the way in this morning, and I'm going to share a story relevant to that. My mom has told me about people that have been influenced by her life. How people envied us as kids. Of course, we're over there licking our wounds, so we're crying, woe is me, you know, how come this, we got to, you know, this is so terrible. And yet there were people out there who were watching the actions of my mom and dad and wishing that they could have been born into our family and had my mom and dad for mom and dad. And that's the way it should be with God. If we're doing what we're supposed to do. Jean was telling me this morning about a young man who she had influence on when he was young. Came from a terrible background. Father and mother were alcoholics. The mother died. She went to the funeral. She used to teach him piano. And she got a chance to see him just recently and visit with him. And he told her, you had great influence on my life. Praise the Lord. See, you are never, ever away from the eyes of the world. Looking to find and to see the real Jesus stand up and be exposed. To know who He really is and what He's really about. Or is He just another... Is your life demonstrating all He is? Or does it show that, hey, I'm reminded of the story when I was in school. A young man came to me after a concert and said he was going out with a Baptist minister's daughter. And he came to me after school and after this concert. Now, I'm not doubting these men were born again. But it was a group back in the 60s. I'm dating myself. And they were cleaned up. They weren't wearing the hippie clothes, but they still had the long hair. And the music was so loud that they had to close every door of the auditorium, every classroom on every floor in the building, including the wings, and they still were disruptive. The words were good. But he came to me afterwards and he said, Bill, he said, they talk about change. They talk about being different. You know, what's different? They sound like the same old people I knew, or before they were supposed to be saved. Huh. We got to be very careful, folks. We've got to always be mindful of who we are, what we are, and what we're doing at all times. Because people are watching. It may be your spouse, maybe your son or daughter, maybe your sister, your brother, maybe your mom, your dad, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle. But your actions are going to cause people to be provoked to jealousy and fall on their knees or accuse you and accuse God. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good here. Please. Moving right along. The first one to plead his cause, listen carefully. The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. Or questions him. Casting lots causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. Verse 19 is very important. It says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. Are we placing bars, holding people out? Or is our door open so people can enter? So people can enjoy the light and the peace and the goodness of God. A man's stomach shall satisfy him from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Listen carefully. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Now listen to me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That means even our own death and life are in the power of our tongue. Not just what we say out to others. Remember, the Bible tells us the tongue is an unruly member of the body. It's full of deadly poison and evil, and it's destructive. More destructive than fire, consuming things. So we need to be careful, and we need to watch what we say. And always be thinking about the fact that you are an ambassador, an emissary, and part of the body of Christ, the church of God. The Church of Christ. If you think about that, you'll begin to get a picture of how Jesus can be everywhere. If you understand and have the revelation that we're the body and He's the head, That's why he knows and sees everything. He is omnipresent. He's omniscient, omnipotent. Amen? So he knows. Hallelujah. Two scriptures real quickly. You can just write them down. Proverbs 15:33. Scripture says if you'll judge yourself, you won't need to be judged. How many know that? You won't need that anybody else judges you because you're judging yourself. You are doing and looking at yourself through the Word of God, which is a righteous judge. Amen? He is a righteous judge. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction or the beginning of wisdom, the King James says. And before honor, before you receive honor, there is humility. Humility has to come before honor comes. You know, one of the things I shared with my son just recently, there was this last Thursday or Wednesday night when I left here, there was a terrible situation that happened. My son was brokenhearted, but he was very angry too. Because some bad things and some underhanded, devious, demonic things were being told to my grandson. And it sent him over the edge. I understand those feelings. Thank God he didn't have a way to get away, or he might have done something really stupid. In other words, he might have gone to lay hands on somebody suddenly, and it wouldn't have been pretty. But you see, the Bible says what's done in secret is shouted from the housetops. God reveals things that are done in secret in the open. And again, it's not so we'll be embarrassed, but it's so we will also see, as others see, the need for God in our lives. My son, for some reason, and well, I can tell you why. He's stressed out all of the time, works 16, 18, 20 hours a day. He doesn't get to see little Michael much. It's one of those things where, you know, on certain days his mom's present, and his mom's not a person who knows the Lord. We pray that she will know the Lord, but that's the only thing that's going to change her. She needs God desperately, but she does some underhanded things. But anyway, because my son, because of these pressures on him, he gets a little short. And his frustration and his anxiety takes over. And instead of speaking or training little Michael, he sometimes gets angry and shouts at him. And I'm telling you, he came back and hit him right in the face Wednesday night. Michael looked at him and said, "Why do you hate me?" My heart was wounded. My son cried. He got caught. He saw the error of his ways. I tried to share with him, as God gave me the opportunity, not trying to force my opinion or thoughts on him, but as I got the opportunity, and I told him the next day. He wasn't in any mood to talk that night. I knew that. I respected that. But the next day on the phone, I said, "Michael," he talked about wanting that there was going to be change in the house. Let me tell you something, folks. For there to be change in your house, it has to start with you. It has to start with me. You want change in your house? Then you change and watch God change everybody else. And I told him that. I mean, he knows I love him. And I told him as lovingly as I possibly could, but as straightforward as I could. I said, "Son, for that change to take place, you have to be the first one where the change starts." Now, little Michael knows his daddy doesn't hate him. But the point is, when all he gets is shouting at, when did God ever treat us like that? I have never once in my life heard God shout at me. Never once. And yet I've done some stupid things. And then I told him, I said, "Michael, a baby or a young person," which is the picture from 2 Corinthians 5:17, "has to be taught, has to be trained. Yes, they have all the abilities and faculties with their little fingers and little arms and little hands and legs and everything and their mind and their eyes, but they have to be trained and taught in the right way. God tells us that. Train up a child. That's not only in the natural, but that's in the spiritual, as you train up the children that God brings into your life." Amen? That you disciple. For you to be able to disciple somebody, you have to be disciplined yourself, not just expect discipline from them. Amen? You folks, please, this is for to bless you, not to harm you. This is to help you, not run anybody down. I'm not here pointing a finger at anybody. I'm pointing all the fingers back at me. And I need to change, and I want to change, and I know you do too. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the Word of God. Again, I'm not browbeating anybody or trying to stomp on people's toes. If the Word of God does that, that's not my responsibility. You go to the one who's in charge of that. I'm not the one. I'm just here to proclaim God's Word as He gives it to me. Amen? I'm not your judge, and I'm not the one who sits over your shoulder and looks at everything you do. I got too much to do to take care of me. But I'm smart enough to know that if I need to change, I'm not alone. Amen? Hallelujah. So anyway, you train that child. You show them. And you don't just do it once or twice and, well, that didn't work. No. It takes a commitment to put them before your frustration, your exhaustion, your anxieties. Amen? Put them before. Amen? That's what it's about. Isn't that what Jesus did for you? Never once considering himself. He said he never considered her, the shame or what was going on. He only did what he did because of the love of God in his life and the Father is telling him what to do. And that's what it takes. That's why it says train up a child in the way that he should go. You holler at him. Let me tell you, maybe I've shared this with you before too. My dad, bless his heart, I know he loved us kids. And you can call it thick-headedness, hard-headedness, or stubbornness, whatever you want to call it, but I'm telling you, and many of you may already know this because you've been in the same circumstance. When my dad would sit at the dining room table or the dinner table in the kitchen with me and try to help me, he'd buy, kits and books and stuff to try to help me learn math. And I know he was doing it out of the goodness of his heart and because he really wanted to help me. But because he was a man with little patience, and don't misunderstand me, I love my dad. I'm not talking him down. I'm not. God knows. But because he was a man of little patience, he would get frustrated. The frustration would lead to anger. And by the time it got to anger, I'm shut down. You couldn't have taught me anything. In fact, there was no way I was going to listen to anything you said because I was afraid. I wanted to get it. I wanted to make him happy, but I just didn't get it. And his anger didn't motivate me to do it. It motivated me to shut down and run. I was afraid. We know what the Bible says about fear, don't we? Fear is opposite of faith. Fear has torment. Ho, buddy. Sitting in that chair that night, there was torment. I'm in a corner. I can't escape. And he's sitting right there. Oh, look out. Look out. You hear what I'm saying? And it wasn't his desire to hurt me. But his anger was so overwhelming that he couldn't hurt me anymore if he hit me. Banging on the table caused me to shut down. It fed my inferiority complex. It damaged my ego, my self-esteem. That wasn't his purpose. He didn't mean to do that. But he didn't consider his ways. He had issues in his own life that weren't resolved because he didn't walk the walk of God if he knew it. I believe he's saved now. When he passed away, I got to stand there, as you know, hold his hand and walk him into the kingdom of God. Pray for him. Watch the labored breathing stop. As I told him I loved him and as I prayed for him. And his breathing got easier. And he just slowly, one less breath, and went right into the kingdom of God. That's where I believe he is. Can I prove that? No. Except I have promises from this. And I'm not bending or changing my mind on the promises of God. They are in him, yes, and so be it. Amen? No, it was guilt. It was guilt. And it was guilt based on the fact that he was doing everything he could to make a living and to take care of his family. He wasn't there. And it was also based on the fact that he had been wronged by people who called themselves Christians. Damaged. That's between them and God. I bear no malice, but I pray that his last breath, he made that decision before he went into eternity. And I don't care if his physical mind and body couldn't respond to me. I know by the Spirit that he heard what was said and that that's what he took into eternity with him. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you all still with me? Praise the Lord. Let's move on here. Proverbs 16:33. We just read that. Before honor is humility. And then turn over, if you will, to Proverbs 18:12. Just another little verse that has says before destruction, Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Humility is the key, folks. What does that mean? That means understanding all the time what manner of you are, what manner of man you are or were. That's past tense. You've got to consider. Remember the scripture talks about when you look into that mirror, that glass darkly, and then as soon as you turn away, you forget what manner of person you were. Man meaning mankind, not the gender man. Amen. Proverbs 3:7-8 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Did y'all get that? That's the scripture in Hebrews that talks about the Word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword, or sharp and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword, which pierces even to the dividing asunder. Listen carefully. This man, I'm telling you, this is so cool. If you can get a hold of this and see this picture, it pierces even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, or the Adamic nature, the deceitful nature talked about in Jeremiah 17:9, and the thoughts and the intents of that Adamic nature. Because if you remember, it says, then as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can only know it by the revelation of the Word and the Spirit of God. That's why our flesh, our heart, the thing we call, and we're not talking about the thing that pumps the blood, it's the mind, the will, the emotions, the seat of appetites. That's what needs to be changed. That's where the tenderization, or if you will, the tenderizer of the Word of God focuses on. Changing that hard heart. Tenderizing it. Amen? Replacing a heart of stone with a heart of flesh. Amen? How many remember that scripture? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, whenever you see a wherefore or a therefore, you need to see what it's there for. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Once again, your full-time job, part of the warfare. The warfare. The kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Part of the warfare you and I go through is making sure we are doing and saying and acting the way we're supposed to act according to the Word of God. And for that, you need the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word in your life. You're not going to get it on your own. It doesn't come by osmosis. It comes from commitment, determination, and declaration, and prophesying over your own life. Amen? Galatians 5:14-15 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, all the law is fulfilled in this one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then in verse 15, it says, here's a warning, folks. "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Whoa. You might want to put that on a card and put it on your refrigerator or your mirror someplace where you can see that all the time. One of the things that we all have as human beings is opinions. And we have a right to those opinions. But we don't have a right to push our opinions on others at any time. If you're pushing your opinion, you're not pushing the Word of God, or you're not exposing or teaching the Word of God. Your opinion is only important to you. God, I wish we could get a hold of that. Every one of us could get a hold of that. One of the ways we can get that our opinions changed and understand is when we give up our opinion for God's opinion. Where God takes you in your personal life and what He leads you to do is between you and God. If it builds your faith and helps you, glory to God. Great. But don't try to put something on somebody else they're not interested in and really couldn't care less about. I guarantee you, if they're hearing the unadulterated, unabridged Word of God, and they're seeing that in your life, they're going to receive what you say. And it won't be hard. It'll be easy. Because it'll be a seed planted that'll bring forth the fruit that we talked about in Galatians in the first part of the message this morning. Amen. Just remember, we're commanded to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Y'all missed a good place to say amen. Proverbs 16, verses 17 and 18. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way, not the way of another, preserves his soul. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better, in verse 19, to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. First Corinthians 12, 21. Again, some more familiar scripture, but so applicable in this message. 1 Corinthians 12, 21. Actually, 19 through 21. And if we were all one member, or one part, if you'll allow me that liberty, where would the body be? If the body was one big hand. How many have seen the commercials where they're talking about all this nasal stuff that they have for the nose, and all you see is the nose walking around with glasses on it, you know, walking around. They got a cold or something else. Okay? And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, and yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't have need of you, nor the head to the feet, I don't have need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Amen? A house divided against itself can't stand. A body that's divided against itself is destructive. It can't exist. Amen? Many places God commands us to love one another. To love even as we're loved. How does God love us? Unconditionally. We sang the song this morning, as a deer panteth for the water. One part of that, part of the verse, it says this, you're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. He's our brother, but he's also the head of the body. He's looking out for your good, but not just for your specific good, but for the good of the entire body. Amen. We are the family and body of Christ. We're the church of God. Amen. We need to always remember that God's thoughts for us are thoughts for good and not for evil, to prosper and not to harm us or anyone else. There's a defect in the body if we, as a part of the body, are causing damage to other parts of the body that needs to be dealt with. Amen? And the final outcome of Jeremiah 29:11, and he says, because of that, because my thoughts for you are good and not for evil, and to prosper, not to harm you, but his thoughts are to give you a hope and a future. Amen? We send our young people into battle. Sometimes they come back maimed and lame and blind. The body is not destroyed, but a member or part of the body is destroyed, which makes the body in the world's way of thinking inadequate. But many times, because of the attitude and what's happened, They come out realizing how blessed, how loved they are, and looking to God and thanking Him that they're still alive and lead productive lives. But the body is still, has lost something. Doesn't mean that they're, that's the end and it's all over, that, but it means that they've lost something. And that's very evident. You know, sometimes through our actions, we can be that part of the body that is plucked away. By plucked away, I don't mean taken out and destroyed or anything like that. What I mean is we don't function the way we should, and all of a sudden the body's lame or maimed. So the body has to pick up for that part and work twice as hard. But thank God for a body that's functioning the way it should, has all its digits, faculties, limbs. It functions and is very effective, or I should say more effective than the one who is lame. Again, not saying the other one can't be effective, but it's not the same. It's not right, and we all know it. We all feel that. Amen? When the religious leaders and the people rejected Christ, it was for the word's sake or the gospel, not for His actions or His own actions, because He only did, only said, and was only motivated by what the Father said. When Jesus taught, He taught faith, never fear or His own agenda. He always was mindful of the people's needs, not His own. He taught what was best for the kingdom and the kingdom's people, not for what pleased Him. Matthew 4:23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues," listen carefully, "preaching the gospel," the good news, "of the kingdom and healing of all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people." And that's what He did. Gene? Hallelujah. One of the things we know by Mark chapter 11, if we've been wronged, if we've been hurt, or if we've wronged or hurt somebody else, for our prayers to be effective or for us to be able to take communion without receiving a real issue in our life, we have to make it right and forgive. Amen? See, folks, faith operates and works by love. I'm reminded of an old song, just came to my spirit just now. It says, "Only through love can we enter. Only through love can we enter. Only through love do we stand." Amen? It's through love. Loving, first of all, God more than anything or anybody else in our lives. He has to be number one in our life. We have to consider what manner of person we are, always. And we have to always be mindful of our need for Christ so that we can minister to the needs of other people for Christ. For Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, our brother, our Redeemer, our Healer, our peace, our provision. Amen. The one who doesn't bring a spirit of fear or give a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and a sound mind. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, and love, and of a sound mind. And what the Scripture says, it says, if you see a brother taken in fault, go to that brother or sister. Again, that's not gender specific. Restore that one. Don't kick them when they're down. Don't just fold your hands. Well, no, not my problem. No. You go to that one and restore that one in meekness, in love. That's meekness, not weakness. Amen? And in so doing, you'll fulfill the plan of God. be in His image and His likeness. When you decrease to the point where the only focus you have is to see others blessed and helped, and to be a desire to be the one who God uses to bless and help other people, which means you have to set yourself aside. See, I find it interesting that God puts things in His Word like, those who lose their life for my sake will find it. But those who seek to keep their life, self-elevation, self-motivation, self-exaltation, they lose it. Because they're not like Galatians 2:20 says. They know the Word, but they really weren't crucified with Christ. Or at least some parts of them were not crucified with Christ. And that's what it takes. Crucified. Meaning the old, the nonsense, the garbage is gone. It's dead and buried. And then nevertheless, even though I'm buried with Christ, crucified with Christ, buried, nevertheless, I live. But it's not you who lives. It's not you who has the life. It's the life of God in you. Amen? It's the life of God in you. Hallelujah. And that's what it's about. I'm reminded of another song that came out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, right above the Train Center. I can't remember the man who wrote it. I think his name was Steve. But what he said was basically, if you think you can make it by doing good works, you're just fooling yourself. If you think you can make it by going to church, you're just fooling yourself. It takes a change and a commitment. And it takes not just walking the walk, but talking, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. Making that commitment that the only thing that matters is that I do what's required of me. And at the moment that our flesh or our pride or something that's not godly sneaks up, that's the time when we take that thought captive and put it down, bring it into the submission of Christ. Force it to become obedient to the Word of God and to Jesus. Amen. Final scripture, Romans 16:17. And if you want to know what that says, or what that passage says, look it up for yourself. Look it up for yourself. Whatever happens, here or anywhere out there, I am required, it is demanded of me, that my handprint not be on anybody, unless it's the handprint of God, which builds up and restores, brings life, brings peace, brings comfort, edification, exhortation, and it builds up. Anything else, better not have my handprint. If you come and you leave of your own volition, I better not have my handprint. None of us better have our handprint on that person. Amen? God's a God of love. And He's got such power, such a destiny and an anointing for us. We need to choose that, make that the most important thing in our life over our petty likes and dislikes and our thoughts of who we are and what we are outside of the Word of God. I can make mistakes. I have made mistakes. I don't want to. But I trust God every day to make sure that whenever I did make a mistake, I don't make the same one again. Amen? He loves us. He loves us. I'm going to leave you with this. Your eyes have not seen, nor your ear heard, nor has it entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for you. If you'll just make the commitment to Him and allow Him to be the co-laborer with you because you made a decision. Once again, I don't want to leave here today the way I walked in. I want to be changed. Because with everything within me, I want to please Him. Not me and not you. I want to please Him. And in pleasing Him, His presence in my life will please and bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all still love me? Glory to God. This is one of those messages that you're not real comfortable with, but I have to tell you honestly, I had total peace with. This message wasn't designed to beat up on anybody, but to get my starting right here with me, myself, to consider my ways and see what things I need to change in my life. What things that may still be there that I have not let go of or that I have not allowed to be crucified. Dead and buried. Amen. Once and for all. Amen. Praise the Lord. God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And the only condemnation that comes is when we don't believe in Jesus. That's the only condemnation. So this morning, I don't want you all to come up here unless you want to. Whether it's one or the whole group, if you need prayer, we're going to pray. Amen. I want this to be the beginning or the first day of the rest of my life and your life. And I want it to be the beginning of the greatest days and walk we've experienced to now with the Lord. Amen. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, that You are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. And that You do, in gentleness and love, expose those areas as we give You permission in our lives that need to be changed, that need to be dead and gone. So, Father, I thank You right now for the heart of these people, Lord, faithful ones, those who are called by Your name, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that You're not finished with us. You're continuing to mold us just like a potter on the clay, and we're the clay. Lord, I thank You, and I give You total permission to perfect me in any way that You see the need. Once again I say, Lord, create in me clean hands and a pure heart and renew a right spirit within me. Once again I call out, Lord, and I say, search me, O God, and know my ways, and try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wickedness in me, Lord, and deal with that. I'll let it go because I want to be clean and I want to be pure and I want to be in Your image and likeness. And I thank You, Lord, that when I make a mistake, You don't cast me down. You don't seek to destroy me, but because You love me, You reach down, Your loving, tender hand, draw me to Yourself, and then say, this is the way. Walk in it. I love You and thank You, Lord, for Your word, for what You did on the cross. The completed work. Not a work still trying to get done, but Lord, a work that's done. And all that I require of me is that I accept it and walk in it. That I need You and I need the Holy Spirit, which You promised Jesus to send when You ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And I thank You this morning that You are the head, and I'm just a member, submissive to that head of this body, of the body of Christ, not only in this house, this part of the body, but the body worldwide, the church worldwide. I praise You and thank You that You and stand here in awe, Lord, of how much You love me, how much You care, and how You only have good in mind for me and for Your people, Lord. Not just for me, but for Your people, Lord. And even if it was just me or just them, Lord, You'd have done the same thing. So I receive, Lord, your word, your chastening. I thank you for it. I thank you that you love me enough to care. It's what made me know that I was loved by my earthly parents, even though it may not have been done quite the right way. But I thank you, Lord, that you love me enough to teach me, to chasten me, chastise me, Lord, so that I can accomplish your will in this earth. And I thank you that for that same thing in these people, Lord. Holy Spirit, I thank you for causing our prayer to be answered. Jesus, I thank you for being here with us as you promised. And now I thank you, Lord, that we're going to go out better, cleaner, and brighter than we came in today, Lord. Give you all praise and all honor and all glory. In the name that's above every name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.